and leave a
Blog
legacy.
Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat, on March 28th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business and government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at www.manhattanbeachchamber.com, that's manhattanbeachchamber.com, or call 310-545-5313, that's 310-545-5313. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with southbaybyjackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great, and looking forward to this talk because, you know, business development is one of the key areas that is really close to my heart. Small businesses and our many friends in small business. Who's our guest today?
Our guests this morning are Manhattan Beach City Council members Tony D'Errico and Mark Burton. Mark has lived in the South Bay for over 50 years and is a former senior assistant city attorney with over 30 years of public service to the city of L.A. As a former senior assistant city attorney, he served as a prosecutor and represented police officers, firefighters, and the city in state and federal courts. He also served as a management attorney where he advised city leaders such as mayors, council members, city commissioners, department heads, and upper-level management in managing their employees and issues. Now, Tony has lived in Manhattan Beach for 17 years and currently owns a local business, Bella Beach, with his wife and daughter. Prior to that, he enjoyed 30-plus years as an international business executive. As vice president and group executive of a major California technology company, he led a $180 million per year worldwide business and created a multi-million dollar consulting division with operations throughout North America, Europe, and Asia Pacific. And, Joe, it sounds like we got the two correct guys here to talk about something like economic development today. Mark and Tony, welcome back to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you,
well,
Jackie.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Jackie,
the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Jackie and Joey. Do appreciate it.
Well, let's start with you, Mark. We talk to a lot of small business people. We've interviewed over the years. We've interviewed a lot of small business people in Manhattan, Hermosa, and Redondo, restaurateurs and others. And, you know, we all love living in the South Bay. We all love working in the South Bay, for those of us fortunate enough to do that. Uh-huh. But, of course, business development, there are things, many things that can be done to make our lives as business people easier. And we're looking, you know, to the city council for leadership on that. Mark, what do you have to say for that?
Well, Joe, you know, I think the two most important partnerships a city council can have, a city have, is with your schools and also with your businesses.
Yeah.
And one of the things you have to do is develop a comprehensive citywide strategy on economic development. Unfortunately, in Manhattan Beach, we haven't done that. So that's what we're looking to do with Councilmember D'Errico and I. And if you look at El Segundo, they actually have hired an economic development analyst, someone in-house who deals with the business community on a day-to-day basis, supporting them, reaching out to them, seeing what their needs are so the city can support them. We're hoping to do that and develop a comprehensive citywide strategy regarding economic development, because we need to support our small businesses. They're facing many challenges. And then we also have different corridors throughout the city. So Tony and I have actually gone down to El Segundo a couple of times. They have an economic development, kind of a summit meeting with business leaders and the city council and their economic development analysts. So they're on top of it. They're kind of at the cutting edge. So we're going to kind of replicate some of the things they're doing, and Tony can tell you about that too.
Well, we're going to bring Tony Derrico into the conversation. Tony, when you, as a city council member, because there's things that the city council can do, and then there's things that you just have to encourage people to do. You can't do directly by edict. What are some of the things that you think that the city council can really improve in terms of the business climate in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah, Joe, I think I want to step back just one second and just describe in my mind why this is so important.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a city like Manhattan Beach and you look at our general fund, a substantial amount of our revenue. I, as a business executive, I'm always looking at both the revenue side and the expense side. So this discussion about economic development is much more talking about the revenue side. And if just look at what happened to our city and many other cities in the economic downturn that we started to experience in 2008. Okay, you've got our general fund went 39% of our revenue comes from property taxes, okay? And the way those property taxes increase is when there's residential construction, residential development mostly in our city. That was on hold for the last 5 years. So the property tax revenue went flat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as a business executive, I'm looking for, well, where's the opportunity? You know, not where's the problem, where's the opportunity? So let's not forget that 27% of our general fund comes from business, a combination of sales tax, business licenses, the transient occupancy tax from our hotels, et cetera. So there's an opportunity to look at, you know, from an economic development point of view, is there a way we can bolster that side of our revenue stream? You know,
right.
And in simple terms, Joe, economic development is a sustained, concerted set of actions that are put in place by the policymakers, that's us, the city council, that promotes the standard of living and the economic health of the city. So that's why this is so important. So now to come more specifically to your question,
mm-hmm.
and I think what's happened in terms of economic development in the public sector is it's become a professional industry of very, very highly specialized practitioners. Okay, and you know, Mark just mentioned, Councilmember Burton just mentioned that El Segundo and there are a host of other cities not that far away from us and around the entire state of California that are putting in economic development offices where they hire somebody, a highly seasoned, highly specialized, highly experienced practitioner who understands what it means for a city to engage in economic development and then to implement those things. You know,
right.
at direction through the policies that the city council, you know, gives that person, gives that department. So, for example, Joe, as Jackie mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, I've lived in town actually now 18 years. My wife has lived in town for 38 years. We 5 years ago opened up two retail stores, not just one, in our city. And we're excited about that. You know, we're excited to be part of the community in that way. But when I think back, and again, this isn't to point fingers at people, but when I think back, what kind of help did I get mm-hmm. as a new business owner in this city? And again, I'm not picking on our city or our staff because this is a problem across the universe okay? But as I said, many cities are realizing there's ways to fix the problem, okay? Mm-hmm. If I'm a new business owner today considering putting a business in Manhattan Beach, why can't I have someone reach out and look at my business plan for a minute and say, do you really think you're going to be successful with that plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Understand the uniquenesses of the city of Manhattan Beach, and not just the uniqueness of the city, but the uniquenesses of our three very different commercial districts. You know, our downtown and our North End and our Sepulveda / Rosecrans business districts are very different. And what it takes to be successful in those is different. And the requirements in those areas. So we need to help people understand. If you're going to put a business, we welcome everyone. Bring your business to the city. But why don't we help them put it in the right place, for example?
Right.
And to come back to that for a minute, Joe, you know, our Rosecrans Sepulveda corridor, okay, that is in the city's general plan, okay, that is an area where you can develop and get more regional draw, for example. And why is that? Because there's easier access to, a business on Sepulveda than there is to a business in the North End or a business in downtown. Let me give you another example of the challenge of putting a business in one or the other of those businesses. When you're opening up a business, you need traffic. Whether that's foot traffic or automobile traffic, to get to your store. You need people in your store, and then you do something what's called turnover. It's how many of those people that walk in your store actually buy something. So you need the foot traffic. You need the people into your store. In downtown and in the North End, we have severe parking limitations.
Right.
Very severe. Okay? You know, we have traffic issues because they get very congested, you know, especially in the summertime, and there's nowhere to park, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you're building a commercial property for retail and restaurants today, you're looking at somewhere typically between 5 and 10 parking spaces per 1,000 square foot of retail space, okay? Our downtown and our North End can provide you about one spot per 1,000 square feet. And they compete with the beach. We know people go to, you know, look to park down in the North End because they want to go to El Porto and they want to go to the beach and they want to surf. And we have the same issue. People want to go to the pier and they want to come to the beach. So you have even less than one parking space per 1,000 square feet. So
right.
We need to help people put their stores, their businesses, their restaurants in the right place. That's one thing that economic development could do.
It sounds like a very difficult puzzle when you're talking about traffic. Of course, residents want to reduce traffic and reduce influx of people from outside the city. And of course, businesses want more influx and more traffic because that's their lifeblood. We're talking with Mark Burton and Tony Derrico of the Manhattan Beach City Council about business development. You can call in at 714-242-5288, 714-242-5288, and actually talk to and make comments with city council members, all sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and that's what makes this exciting.
Joe, quick, I want to jump in here. Tony, you mentioned that you have a couple of businesses in downtown Manhattan Beach. So when you were initially thinking about opening these shops, you're saying that it would have been great if you had somebody you can turn to and say, what is the situation? Are people going to be able to park to get to my store? Or to have somebody say to you, can you recommend that? No, maybe you don't want to be there. Maybe you want to be over here. Is that where you're talking about, having somebody to do that?
Yeah, Jackie, absolutely. If someone with some small business experience and knowledge had sat down with me and said, look, here's a half a dozen, right today, I could say tomorrow, I want to open up a business downtown, and as long as I'm within some criteria, you know, I'm not opening up, you know, a tattoo parlor, or, you know, I'm not looking to add more alcohol because that requires different kinds of permits and ABC licenses. But if I just want to open up another boutique, you know, I go get my business license, you know, I start paying the landlord rent, and I'm in business. But am I going to stay in business? Is my business sustainable where it is? Okay, so if someone said, look, you know, I want to put a women's retail store in, and someone told me, you know, there's already 22 of them downtown.
Right.
Or, you know, that's an example. Or do you, let's look at your expense side. Let's look at your rent. You know, your big pieces are your rent, your employees, and your inventory. And let's see whether those three things, and let me show you, let me help you through, you know, not individual stores, but let me tell you in general, a type of store like you're putting in, of the size it is, the average revenue for a store like that is X, okay? Let's make sure that don't come in with a mindset that you think you can do 2X, because you're not, okay?
Right.
And we can help businesses to be more successful, okay? And isn't that what we want? Don't we want commercial district those businesses go in, don't we want them as a city to be thriving, surviving, sustainable, and successful? And
right.
And just to come back to you, you know, Joe, you made a comment earlier about, you know, the potential conflict between the businesses and the residents, and that always exists. And that's city council's job through policy to develop, you know, a balance. It is a balance because I think residents also understand, as I said earlier, 27% of our general fund comes from the businesses. And what is that money used for? Okay, that money is used for public safety. It's used to pay for our police department and our fire department, and it's used to ensure that our infrastructure is sound, et cetera. So, you know, you give and you get, but also back to that again, if we start to put businesses in a commercial district where they can't survive more on the local traffic than regional traffic, then we as a city have created a problem, okay?
Right.
Because
right.
we've now we're requiring that business, they're going to do what they need to survive. So they're going to start advertising broader. They're going to say, come in from 20 miles away to our north end or to our downtown. And that does create a conflict with our residents. And so that's what economic, you know, Mark Burton said it earlier, you need a cohesive citywide strategy, okay, to make sure that all the stakeholders, you know, the business owners, the residents, okay, the visitors, okay, that the landlords, that everyone's needs are met. And it's a balance. No one wins if one wins and one loses. That's the reality. We all have to find, a way to make everyone win. And maybe win is a little smaller for everybody, but collectively, that's a much bigger win for all of us.
You know what this sounds like? You know what this reminds me of? You know, recently I've been reading about the CenterCal project that they're going to do at Redondo Marina. And I was reading something, and I'm probably not going to remember the numbers correctly, but they were something like, in order for that development to be successful, they need to have, oh gosh, I'm going to say 50,000 cars per whatever it was, day, week, or whatever, going through that area. Where currently it's like 20,000,
yeah,
something like that. Like it's currently like 20,000, but they need 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever it was. And they're, in order for that development to be successful, they need to generate that traffic, which the residents are up in arms about in that area.
And
so, wow, what do you do?
In my mind, Mark Burton said it best right at the beginning, you develop a comprehensive citywide strategy that ensures that the right balances and the right successes can be had by all of the stakeholders.
Right.
That's what
right.
If you just let it happen, you know, if you just let it happen, if tomorrow, you know, you know, let's say a store, I'll just throw out a name, you know, and not to pick on any, but if a store like Banana Republic wanted to open up in our North End or downtown, does that fit Does it fit the model? Does it fit the general plan for our city about what that downtown or North End is supposed to be? Or should we be encouraging, and I'll use the word encouraging with quotes around it, that kind of business to be in the Sepulveda corridor, okay, the Sepulveda Rosecrans commercial district, okay?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we want them to be successful, and we don't want the neighborhood, we don't want the residents to be looking and saying, did we plan that, or did it just happen? Who's in charge here, you know? Right. It's who's in charge here. And that's what we need to do.
Right. It's a balancing act, as you've said, Tony, and you've laid out the issues so brilliantly. These are the things that cities across the country deal with, and so you guys have a plan. You guys have a model that you're looking to, the hiring of a professional to give the city accurate information, like the city has professionals in the area of fire and police and administration. The city has is going to be hiring a professional in the area of business development. Mark, what can this person do? What kinds of powers, what kinds of contact or with the residents do you envision this person having to get everyone on board with the balances that are necessary, Mark?
Well, Joe, this person will act as a facilitator and are linked to the business community. Ideally, this person should reach out to every business, at least on an annual basis, saying, what do you need? How are things going? How can the city help you? So that's part of it. But there's a larger issue going on here, like Tony talked about, is Manhattan Beach, as opposed to other cities, we only have two economic engines. One is our property taxes, and the other is our sales taxes or business-related. So that's why it's important to support the businesses. And part of what we need to do, besides having an economic development analyst on board, that function in-house, we need to develop specific plans for our commercial zones. So, for instance, we should have a specific plan developed for downtown. We should have a specific plan developed for Rosecrans and Sepulveda Corridor. We should have another specific plan for the North End and El Porto. If you don't have those planning documents and planned how your business district is going to look, you're kind of going blind, and change is happening, and you're not able to manage it. So, for instance, our downtown right now, everyone's concerned. Are we going to turn corporate with nothing but corporate businesses there and lose that small-town charm? But we don't have that planning document. So it's not only just having that function of an economic development analyst in-house. We as a council now need to retain consultants and develop specific plans so we can manage that change and retain that character for a beautiful downtown. So we can manage the change on Sepulveda. That's just kind of, there's no planning document there. So that's what we need to do right now. And you can see city council has kind of changed over the years. And I think this council recognizes how important it is to have a great working relationship with the business community and give them the support. So it's kind of multifaceted. It's just not having an economic development analyst in-house. That's
right.
Part of it, okay? But also council needs to develop specific plans. And council did take action to hire a consultant to develop a specific plan for downtown. So that will be coming to us, the RFP on that, in the next couple of months. But we need to do that for Sepulveda Rosecrans. And then you can't allow vacancies. Over here on Artesian Sepulveda, LA Fitness left. That building is vacant.
Right.
That shouldn't happen. That's where your economic development analyst will be out there talking to the business, and if they're going to be leaving, looking to recruit other people into your city.
Right.
You should be actively recruiting people. We've got Manhattan Towers. It's basically vacant. We should be recruiting people. We could be Silicon Beach. So that's what we need to do. We need to be aggressive. We need to be very, very connected to the business community and supportive. Otherwise, your downtown, like downtown's a classic example. You're having these corporate chains come in, and if you don't do anything, it'll change completely and we'll be a La Jolla. And I don't know if our community wants that. The charm is having that small business owner who lives in town.
Right.
We need to support them. So there's a number of challenges here, and there's a comprehensive approach that we as council need to take the lead on.
Now, I know we're hesitant to talk about specific businesses because every business has its own unique character and trajectory, but one business I think that we can all agree is a jewel in the crown of Manhattan Beach, and that's Pages, a bookstore.
Oh, yes.
904 Manhattan Avenue, Patty, Linda, and Margot. What a What a passionate group of entrepreneurs, and an amazing business, vibrant. They've left no stone unturned in terms of the types of events that they have, and they don't just sell books.
Yes.
They really have turned it. They've done everything. I believe they've done everything that they can to make it a successful business. What else can the city? What else can the body politic do to help them be more successful?
Joe, working with our chamber, working with the Downtown Business Association, we should develop a campaign called Shop MB, and really work through the schools too, and tell people, listen, we spend an incredible amount of money on internet purchases,
right?
But encourage people, get off the internet. Go and support Pages. We want them to be successful. They're the quintessential downtown business.
Right.
They're spectacular. So we need that. It's kind of like if you look, you want to drive change in this community, it's through the schools. And if we get the parents to begin to tell everybody, shop MB. And that's the way it used to be in this town.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of civic pride here. If you tell people this is important for you to make purchases, not on the internet, but in this business community, it directly benefits you and the community. There's a lot of civic pride in this community. So campaigns like that can help. And then also, like I said, the specific plan that would encourage more businesses like that, like a Pages. To me,
okay, I got a question for you, Mark. So as of today, right now, if, let's say, up the street there's a vacancy and the landlord decides to lease that space to, say, a Barnes & Nobles, today they could do that.
Yeah, but see, that's a challenge, Jackie. That's why we're going to have a specific plan for downtown. And this city council has a long tradition of supporting the local businesses. So, for instance, when McDonald's tried to come in here 25, 30 years ago, where the rights is, we didn't allow it. When a 7-Eleven tried to come in, right where Uncle Bill's is, you see the parking lot that's just north of there?
Right.
That's where they were going to go. The city annexed that property to make sure they didn't come in. So it's time for this city council to step up and, in the rich tradition, support our local businesses and make sure we don't go corporate.
That is so difficult, and also as you correctly point out, that points to leadership for a city council to forego the sales tax that a 7-Eleven could provide. And to get involved. I mean, a lot of city councils would say, well, that's what businesses do. They come in, they go out. We'll just laissez-faire, leave it alone, hands-off kind of attitude. But if you do that, then you're going to have chaos. And in Manhattan, you have Pages. In Hermosa, we lost, I believe, one of the great institutions in terms of a bookstore in the South Bay, but in Southern California, when we lost Either Or bookstore.
Yeah.
That was
an
amazing bookstore, historic proportions, and we lost it, typically because the landlords are looking to get higher revenues and to subdivide. So. We're gonna be talking a lot more about economic development today and over the months and years ahead. And we have to thank the Chamber of Commerce for providing this forum. You can call in and get your question or comment answered at 714-242-5288, 714-242-5288. Tell your friends and neighbors that this is going to be a resource that everyone can turn to regularly on Fridays at 8 a.m. And then through podcasts at any time. And right now, we're going to turn to thanking a sponsor of us. Jackie, who are we going to thank today?
Joe, it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary, and Pediatric Therapy Network, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical experience with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, you can visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011.
And boy, they are burning the midnight oil now.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. It's getting close. Tony, let's go back to you. We are a community that is proud, a community that is generally happy with our city services and our city officials in the South Bay in general, whether you're talking El Segundo or Hawthorne or, Gardena, Lawndale, Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo. We have a lot of great energy in the South Bay, both public and private. But economic development is still a big issue. And do you think that maybe a regional approach might be in order as well, like a group of cities get together and plan what happens down the Sepulveda Corridor? Because, of course, it cuts through many cities.
Yeah, Joe, I think that's a great point. And I think that the way I look at not just economic development, but anything we're dealing with, okay, I don't think we should, I mean, maybe we joke sometimes with some of our neighboring cities about who's better, who does this, you know, first, et cetera. But the true reality is we are and should be acting as partners, because if I do something that helps me that ultimately hurts El Segundo or Hermosa, that doesn't really do good at the end of the day, you know? So what we need to do, I mean, each city, you know, we are the stewards of our legal and rightful owners, okay? And that's different for each city. So, you know, our loyalty, our objectives have to be to what that group of stakeholders wants. But I think that they want, okay, a collective good for the South Bay, okay? And I really do believe that if each of our cities has an economic development arm, that they should meet regularly. Look, Mark Burton and I have gone to several, he mentioned earlier, El Segundo has a group, I think it is an economic development advisory council, and it is made up of council members, and it is made up of some very, very influential and smart business owners in the city of El Segundo, and they meet regularly. And Mark and I have gone to some of their meetings, and we were welcomed with open arms, mm-hmm. okay? This wasn't, oh, my goodness, there's the spies from Manhattan Beach. and the reason is, you know, that group of very intelligent people sees the value of us working together and sees the value of, you know, if they're taking the forefront in a particular area, you know, and they're swathing a path, you know, they realize that it's better if we come through that path instead of reinventing the wheel, especially if we're, you know, we're breaking ground somewhere else and we're willing to bring them along. So it makes sense. You know, it makes sense. Look, we have, you know, a potential new development coming along here with our Manhattan Village Mall. Our neighbors to the north, have El Segundo Plaza, and they're putting in the point, okay? We need to work together, not against each other, to make all of those successful. And to the earlier point about a strategic plan, well, if we ought to make sure that, you know, if they put theirs in and we put ours in, we're not going to, you know, we're going to be eating our children, so to speak, you know, that it's all sustainable. It all can be successful, you know, and then we put our unique spins on it to make sure Manhattan Beach is better. That's just the way it is, you know. I'm a businessman, you know. Years ago there was a term coined, Joe and Jackie, called coopetition, okay? And it happened in the high tech industry,
right?
Because what was happening is that the industry was moving so fast, no one company could do it all. Okay,
right.
So in order to serve your customers, and that's what it's about how do you serve your customers. In order to serve your customers, you got to team up, in some cases, with people who are also your competitors. But ultimately, we gave a better solution to the marketplace, to our individual customers, you know, and we found a way to put our unique spins on things to at least feel we were doing a little better than the competitor, but we worked together, and that term got created, coopetition. You know, and it should apply here as well in how the South Bay does economic development. You know, we can all succeed. That's the fact, and we all need to. It wouldn't do any of us any good if one of our cities was not doing well. You know, in such a tight area. This is not that big. You know,
right.
This is not that big.
Yeah. Joe, I just wanted to interrupt here just for a second. I want you to know that Hermosa Beach is actually in the process of hiring an economic development analyst. So they're going the same approach that's being used in El Segundo, and that we're going to be taking too. So we're all kind of working together, realizing economic development is important in South Bay.
Well, I want to go back to something that you said, Mark. That, you know, from my vantage point, I'm in the high tech industry, web development and design, and I marvel at, and you know, part of our history in our industry is the history of the San Francisco sort of renaissance. In San Francisco, there are places that you go that you'll see in, you know, maybe a 2 or 3 block area, you'll see 4 or 5, you know, household names in terms of the internet located there. And they locate there because the city is so aggressive. There is not a vacancy in the center of San Francisco that isn't instantly snapped up. And what they do is they locate startups. They locate companies that actually don't have revenue, but collectively the city and the founders of these companies get together and they say, well, hey, we don't have revenue right now. We can't pay the full rate, but we can pay something and then we'll pay more at the end and so forth and so on. But vacancies don't exist. And that can be a reality here in the South Bay.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that didn't happen by accident. That was the city planning. That was the city working with the businesses, recruiting the businesses. In Los Angeles, remember Hollywood Boulevard 25 years ago.
Right.
Look at it today.
Right.
They had a specific plan, and that's why you saw that type of growth. Same thing in San Francisco, and it should be happening in Manhattan Beach and the other South Bay cities.
Wow, that is truly, truly exciting, because you never know when you're going to get another Facebook or another Google or something like that starting, and it could be right here in the South Bay, and that could be very, very exciting. Now this is something that the entire city council is going to deliberate and address. How do something else, Mark, that I have to point out that just strikes me about this conversation and talking to both you and Tony is the number of times that you guys refer to the history of the council is to act in this way. The history of the council is to act in this way. You guys look at it not as me, I, I'm great, I'm doing this, but this is the way the Manhattan Beach City Council acts as a collective, both past, present, and future. That's very impressive, Mark.
That's the way it should be. It's a team. It's a team approach. It's a passionate leadership. It's a recognition of what our history is and honoring our heritage as the city council, and then also being true to it today.
Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Yep.
Tony?
Yes, sir?
when you look at the history of the Manhattan Beach City Council and the great, you know, tradition of leadership, what are some of the things that you're most proud of? That not just you as a person, but the body that you're a member of has accomplished for Manhattan Beach over the years?
Yeah, I'll go back, Joe, to, as I said, I've lived in town for 18 years. I was, you know, I'm an East Coast kid, no longer a kid, but you know that. and showed up, you know, in California in 1996, when I was recruited to become the vice president of a software company that was headquartered in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And everyone that I talked to, you know, I temporarily was housed in a set of executive suites on Washington Boulevard, Washington Avenue, in Marina Del Rey, while I looked for a home. Mm-hmm. And everyone I talked to real estate agents, I talked to the business executives at the company I worked for, I talked to people, and everybody said Manhattan Beach. It was a resounding Manhattan Beach.
Hmm.
And I said, I got to learn about this place. There's something special about this place.
Right.
And fortunately, I made the choice, you know, to buy in Manhattan Beach. And that is, I think, representative of the history of the city, the strong community that it has, and the solid representation over the years. You know, I mean, look back at people like, you know, and I'll offend some people by not mentioning their names, but people like Russ Lesser and people like Bob Holmes and people like Chris Cahey and people like Portia Cohen, you know, going back some years, and Jan Dennis. You know, these are people who care about the community. They are community focused. They're community oriented. And I think that is at the heart and should be at the heart of what we do. I'll leave you with one last quote, Joe, and that is, we have to remember, and I think most of our predecessors have, okay, we on City Council are not management of the city one step up. We are ownership one step down.
Mm.
That's our role.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Now we have a special guest on Fridays. It's the Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat, and I want to bring in the president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, James O'Callaghan. James, are you with us?
I am here. How are you guys this morning?
Great to have you. And James, we're gonna talk a little bit more about business development and what the city council is doing. But I also wanted to bring you in on this issue that, you know, Tony and Mike and Mark have been really talking not so much in terms of what they are going to do, what they are going to bring to business development, but they've been talking about the continuum of leadership on the Manhattan Beach City Council, which is actually legendary in the South Bay, about protecting the character of Manhattan Beach business. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, in the time I've been here, it's been great to see council embrace what Manhattan Beach is. And, you know, we do have different development projects going on and different options to recruit different businesses. But taking a proactive approach is just recently taken a council to, you know, actually seek out advice on what the structure should look like and putting out an RFP for what downtown should look like and then later rolling that out for RFPs for the other business districts, I think just speaks to the long-term development possibilities for the city. So.
Right. So now we're going to transition into Do you have some announcements for us or a calendar of events that's coming up with the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce?
Sure. Next Friday morning, as we do every month, we will be having on our first Friday afternoon, We'll be hosting our Business Connection lunch. We bring together a bunch of business leaders from the local community and have them all, you know, kind of share a little bit of information about what's going on in each of their businesses and get to know each other a little bit better. So that takes place at Lido de Manhattan at noon on Friday of next week. Following that, we have our Business Leaders Summit on April 25th. We'll have some great speakers there, including Glenn Shotwell from SpaceX. And then we just recently had our Economic Development Committee meet, actually yesterday, and they were planning our next economic forum, which will take place in July of this year, and it will focus on a lot of the regional developments going on here and how the different developers can work together to make sure that they're all offering products that vary enough that can help support local business. You know, as we look, the residential community here in Manhattan Beach has just under $1 billion buying power. And right now, Manhattan Beach is capturing about $500 million of that buying power. So about half of our buying power goes outside the city, and some of it we couldn't capture. We don't have enough room to put in 20, 30 car dealerships to get everybody a car. Mm. But at the same time, there are things we can do to work with the city, work with the local business community to attract tenants that will help capture some more of that revenue as well.
This is a very exciting time in the city of Manhattan Beach with the initiatives to bring in professional business development expertise. How can the Chamber of Commerce empower their membership to feed ideas and to provide sort of on-the-ground intelligence for these resources that are going to be provided by the City Council? And I guess that's a question for you, James.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways. You know, a lot of these discussions have grown and prospered through the Chamber, actually. We had helped spur a lot of these discussions early on with some of our economic development, our economic forums and stuff of that nature. We reached out to the various council members and engaged them and brought them in. And we brought in other economic development leaders from around, you know, the city, the state, the region, that could help, you know, share some of their insight on how they modeled their cities and moved it forward. So I think the Chamber has been instrumental in kind of helping that conversation continue to grow. But what we are looking to do is we're actually looking to start an economic development task force that, like Mark and Tony had said earlier, will go out on a regular basis, probably quarterly to start, and meet with businesses, both member and non-member, but asking them, you know, what works in the city, what doesn't, how can we work better together, and bringing that feedback back to council and helping them, as they're developing these plans, you know, have some serious input from local businesses.
That's very exciting. We're looking forward to that. Mark, one of the advantages we have in Manhattan Beach is such a strong chamber. That's got to be exciting for you to know that you're going to have input from a cross section of businesses in the city, ready and waiting to feed this economic development engine with the information they need to make decisions and make recommendations.
Well, absolutely, Joe. It's very exciting. The partnership we have with the chamber and with James is just excellent, and it continues to get better and better. We've always had a good, strong chamber. Under James's leadership, they've really taken it to the next level. So we get a tremendous benefit from the chamber. They are a catalyst in a number of items. Their forums are just excellent. So I mean, I'm really looking forward to the Business Leaders Summit. So and like I said, we've got an excellent working relationship with them. It's a perfect partnership from my point of view.
We're excited. And Tony, thank you so much for joining us today, because you guys have really provided an encapsulated description of what's going to happen, and it's really exciting.
Well, thank you, Joe. I know I'm very pleased and happy to be on and share some of the thoughts that are going through my head, and I believe our city council's head right now about what we can do, what we should do, and there'll be certainly more discussion at our city council meetings on these topics, because they are so vitally important to our city. I mean, as we said at the outset, you know, 27% of our general fund revenue comes from businesses, and it is probably the one area that we actually have some control over. You know, property taxes, which, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is the biggest piece, we don't get to control that. You know, the economy does. If the economy takes a hit, then builders will stop, you know, redeveloping, and property tax will go flat. And here's an opportunity for us to ensure that we are building a sustainable piece of our economic engine. And I think it's important, and that's the most important thing here, is this is not important. First of all, it's not important to me. It's not important to the business owners. It's important to the city. Mm-hmm. And that's what can't be forgotten. Yes, there'll be some balances. Yes, there'll be some challenges. Yes, there'll be some debates about how to do it and where we draw various lines. But those are healthy. Those are healthy. Because they all come back to the vitality and the community that we all love to live in.
Right, right. Wonderful. What a great forum we have here. And I want to thank again James O'Callaghan for his vision of a communication vehicle, a communication channel for the chamber with their members and with the body politic in Manhattan Beach and the South Bay at large to discuss these issues. It looks like we're going to have some great business development in the South Bay for the coming decades, and this is really exciting. So I want to thank you, James. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, as always, thank you guys for helping put this together every week.
Well, it's awesome. We're excited. Jackie and I are very excited about this and looking forward to the future. And we're going to have
more lively conversations.
Yes, we are. Yes.
We like the lively conversations.
Absolutely. Well, that's unless, James, you have any other announcements for today?
Yeah, I want to thank both Councilmember Dirico and Councilmember Burton for coming on this morning and, you know, sharing some of the vision of where the city is going with economic development. So.
It was our pleasure.
Great. Good.
I just have to ask Tony something.
Yeah?
Yes.
Tony, you said you're from the East Coast.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask you because, you know, in California, they have a tendency to change up accents. Back East, did they call you D'Errico?
No, it was always Dirico, and a lot worse, to be honest, because I didn't pinpoint that. You know, I grew up in New York, but some people joke that I've lost most of my New York accent until someone from New York starts talking to me, and
yep.
And then I want a cup of coffee, and I'm about to get my cup of coffee now.
Okay, well, because Dirico is without the apostrophe, and yeah,
yes.
So I always pronounce it Dirico. Yeah, I was just wondering about that.
I answer to all of them, Jackie, so it's all good.
Okay, just had to straighten that out.
All right.
So how about we give out some contact information? Because I'm sure there are people out there that are listening that have their own ideas that want to, you know, share. So if you guys would give us each your contact information or where people can direct their questions.
Yeah, sure. This is Tony. My email at the city is tdirico, and it's T and then D-E-R-R-I-C-O, at citymb.info. And I'd be happy to field any questions and try to help people understand where we're going.
And, yeah, Jackie, my contact information is mburton@citymb.info, or you can text me or call me on my cell phone. It's 310-562-7897. I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
I love that our local politicians give out their phone numbers. I love that. And James, you want to give us contact information for the chamber?
Absolutely. I can be reached personally at james@manhattanbeachchamber.net. Or if you have general questions for the chamber, you can reach us at 310-545-5313.
Cool.
Excellent. All right.
And James, do we know who's going to what the show is going to be next Friday? Who our guests are next Friday?
Yes, next Friday will be a preview of what the Business Leaders Summit will be about. So we will have our chair, Debbie Goldberg, who is from Fresh Brothers. She will be on the show, and Kim Salzer as well, who's been helping put together the event. So.
Ooh, that's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you to all of our guests, and thank you to the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce for providing this forum. That's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye.